Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. Good morning, I'm John Trout. It's Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Here's what's coming up on America in the Morning.
Arizona can now enforce a 19th century abortion law. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
The parents of a Michigan school shooter have each been sentenced to at least 10 years in prison. I'm Shelley Adler.
The trial date approaching in former President Donald Trump's hush money case in New York. I'm Clayton Neville.
On Wall Street, investors will react to the latest on inflation this morning. The March Consumer Price Index will be out. I'm Jessica Ettinger.
The federal program helping to pay for groceries for millions of low-income mothers, babies, and young kids will soon emphasize more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. I'm Julie Walker.
Nobel Prize-winning physicist Peter Higgs has died. He was 94. I'm Ed Donahue.
Tesla has settled a lawsuit over the 2018 death of Walter Wong. I'm Jennifer King.
All ahead on America in the Morning. The Arizona Supreme Court has handed down its decision on the enforceability of an abortion law in the state from the 1800s. Correspondent Haya Panjwani reports.
The 1864 law in Arizona criminalizes all abortions except when a mother's life is at stake. That also means there are no exceptions for rape or incest. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said,
"One-third of all women of reproductive age now live in a state with an abortion ban. And all of these bans, including the one upheld today that was upheld by the Arizona Supreme Court, are a direct result of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade."
Democratic Senator Martin Kelly from Arizona also said the move was wrong.
"And it's going to have a devastating effect on the health and freedom of women in Arizona."
Currently, 14 states are enforcing bans on abortion at all stages of pregnancy, with limited exceptions. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
The parents of a Michigan school shooter have been sentenced to at least 10 years in prison for failing to take steps that could have prevented the tragedy. Correspondent Shelley Adler has the story.
Before sentencing, family members of the Oxford High School students killed in the 2021 shooting spoke. Craig Schilling, whose son Justin died, says his life will never be the same.
"It's fair to say that I live every day with pain, anger, heartache, regret, anxiety, stress, you name it. They are all there, wreaking havoc in my once normal life."
Justin Schilling's mother, Jill Suave, addressed Jennifer and James Crumley.
"You have failed your son and you have failed us all."
Nicole Beausoleil was the mother of victim Madison Baldwin.
"Your Honor, I request that the maximum sentence be enforced, as it will never come close to the life sentence I was given."
I'm Shelley Adler.
A New York appeals court judge has ruled on a request to delay the start of trial in former President Trump's hush money case. Correspondent Clayton Neville reports.
The trial will surround concealed payments allegedly made by Trump to porn star Stormy Daniels. A New York appellate judge declined yesterday to postpone the April 15th trial, so it's set to begin on Monday. But as Trump attorneys work to push back the start of the trial, eyes now turn to a gag order. The Manhattan DA previously requested that order, citing a history of disparaging statements by Trump in legal cases. But the former president's lawyers say the order is unconstitutional. A full panel of appellate judges expected to rule on that gag order before the jury selected next week. I'm Clayton Neville.
Hundreds of shots fired in police shootout. That and Congress back in session when America in the Morning continues after these messages.
Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning on the lookout for potential severe weather. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist Brian Thompson with today's forecast.
It's going to be another day of severe weather along parts of the Gulf Coast. We're most concerned about an area from eastern Louisiana, from around Alexandria, eastward into Mississippi toward Jackson and Hattiesburg, and extending over toward Mobile, Alabama. Although we are going to be watching for the risk for severe weather through much of Louisiana, including New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and extending eastward all the way over toward Montgomery. And we could even see a couple of severe storms closer to the Atlanta area as well. The main threats will be flooding downpours, hail, damaging winds, even tornadoes as we head throughout the day today and into tonight as well. So again, that's the main area of concern today. Farther north, we'll have some rain through much of the Ohio Valley back towards St. Louis. The rain starts to move in by later in the day. And there will be some spotty showers across the northeast and mid-Atlantic, but by no means an all-day rain. It is going to be cooler today across the mid-Atlantic and the northeast. High temperatures mostly in the 50s and 60s, although still some 70s as you get down into parts of Maryland, Delaware, and Virginia. Farther north and west, a dry day across the northern part of the Great Lakes through much of Michigan and Wisconsin, and we will see a couple of spotty showers and thunderstorms from the northern plains over toward Minnesota, but as you get into the west, it gets pretty dry, just a couple of spotty showers through the Rockies, but it is going to be heating up in parts of the southwest, some 90s showing up around Palm Springs today and much of the Central Valley of California in the 80s. And that's the weather across America. In Boston today, cloudy with some showers late in the day and evening, a high of 58. A warmer day in Phoenix today with plenty of sunshine, high 88. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Brian Thompson.
Follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. The U.S. House of Representatives has returned from their recess and are now back in session. A preview from correspondent Sagar Mangani.
The House will be in order.
The House's two-week recess is over, and Speaker Mike Johnson's facing fresh threats of losing the gavel, again from Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is renewing warnings of a snap vote that could remove Johnson. She's warning him against seeking Democrat support to pass legislation hard-right Republicans oppose, like Ukraine aid. But reaching across the aisle is about the only way Johnson can pass any bills, with a thin majority and staunch hardline GOP resistance. Green's fresh onslaught threatens to grind the House to a halt and may very well leave Johnson unable to execute the basics of his job. Sagar Mangani at the White House.
A police watchdog group has released footage of a fatal Chicago police traffic stop in which nearly 100 shots were fired. Correspondent Norman Hall reports.
Five officers from a tactical unit who were in an unmarked police vehicle surrounded an SUV driven by Dexter Reed, a 26-year-old black man, allegedly for failing to wear a seatbelt.
Unlock the doors now!
Open the door!
Unlock the door! Now! Open the door now! Open the door now! Open the door now!
The gunshots continued even after Reed exited the vehicle and fell to the ground. The Civilian Office of Police Accountability said preliminary evidence showed Reed fired first. A family attorney called the stop unconstitutional. I'm Norman Hall.
Blocking Biden's student loan repayment plan. When America in the Morning continues after these messages. Welcome back. This is America in the Morning. The Business Report is sponsored by Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments has a team of specialists in investing, financial planning, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Here's CNBC's Jessica Ettinger.
Wall Street opens this morning after a mixed day for the markets yesterday. It was a roller coaster. Investors are on hold, though, for the latest inflation data out at 8:30 Eastern this morning. It is the March CPI Consumer Price Index, and some investors are optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the lowest CPI print in a number of years. Our own alternative measures of inflation using real-time data on rent makes inflation even well below 2%. Certainly people are worried about that inflation risk coming up, but we think the trend is going in the right direction for inflation.
WisdomTree's Jeremy Schwartz on CNBC. Here's NYU business professor Aswath Damodaran on CNBC.
Inflation seems to be much more stubborn than people thought it was going to be at the start of the year. So I think the numbers are going to be pretty significant in where the market goes next.
Gold hit its 16th new record high of the year yesterday. Costco selling as much as $200 million a week in gold bars now, according to Wells Fargo. Costco has those little one-ounce rectangular bars. Boeing shares under pressure again on a whistleblower claim about potential problems with Boeing Dreamliner jets, first reported by the New York Times.
We do know that the FAA is looking into these allegations from a quality engineer at Boeing about the safety integrity of the fuselage tube for the 787 Dreamliner. Then it raises the question, do they ultimately have to halt production, or is this a case where they say, you know what, we will just go forward with additional inspections.
CNBC's Phil LeBeau. In the first quarter, Boeing delivered just 83 new jets amid the safety crisis.
Other than the teams, there were some big March Madness winners.
Yes, UConn men and South Carolina women for sure. But truly, the winners are the online gambling companies with record betting.
FanDuel tells us the men's championship game saw a 52% increase in the number of bets over last year and a 42% jump in the handle or the amount wagered. DraftKings says it was the most bet college basketball game of all time. And Caesars says it saw the most single game parlays, those are the popular bets on the sportsbooks of all time. And the sportsbooks hit the jackpot with women's college basketball. South Carolina's undefeated season, Iowa's Caitlin Clark fueled the biggest single women's sporting event for betting of all time for both FanDuel and BetMGM.
CNBC's Contessa Brewer. On today's watch list, we told you it's all about inflation with the March CPI Consumer Price Index out this morning. Earnings are coming from Delta Airlines. The Fed will release the minutes from its last meeting. And Augusta, ramping up for the Masters Golf Tournament first round tomorrow.
CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. America in the Morning continues. There's a new attempt to block President Joe Biden's student loan repayment plan. Correspondent Lisa Dwyer has the story.
Seven states, led by Missouri, have filed a new federal lawsuit challenging Biden's SAVE plan, which has become a new legal target for conservative opponents after they toppled the first attempt at student loan cancellation. It largely mirrors another suit filed last month in 11 states. The new suit says that Biden is unilaterally trying to impose an extraordinarily expensive and controversial policy that he could not get through Congress. The Education Department says that Congress gave the agency power to define terms of certain repayment plans in 1993, and that authority has been used before. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
There'll soon be new rules for the federal program WIC, with a greater emphasis on healthy foods. Correspondent Julie Walker has details.
The federal program helping to pay for groceries for millions of low-income mothers, babies, and young kids will soon emphasize more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. The final rule changes for the program known as WIC were announced Tuesday by the Food and Nutrition Service and will take effect within 2 years, with some exceptions. Under new rules, fruits and vegetable vouchers in 2024 will provide $26 a month for kids ages 1 through 4, $47 a month for pregnant and postpartum women, and $52 for breastfeeding women. I'm Julie Walker.
Nobel Prize winner passes, and Tesla lawsuit settled. Those stories when America in the Morning continues after these messages. This is America in the Morning. Nobel Prize-winning physicist Peter Higgs has passed away at 94 years old. Correspondent Ed Donahue takes a look at his life and legacy.
Higgs won the 2013 Nobel Prize in Physics
for the theoretical discovery of a mechanism that contributes to our understanding of the origin of mass of subatomic particles.
In 1964, Higgs proposed the existence of the so-called God particle that helped explain how matter formed after the Big Bang. It came to be known as the Higgs boson. Its existence was confirmed in 2012.
I certainly had no idea that it would happen in my lifetime at the beginning, more than 40 years ago.
Higgs's work helped scientists understand one of the most fundamental riddles of the universe, how the Big Bang created something out of nothing more than 13 billion years ago. The University of Edinburgh, where Higgs was emeritus professor, says he died following a short illness. I'm Ed Donahue.
Tesla has settled a high-profile lawsuit over its self-driving technology, correspondent Jennifer King reports.
Huang's family filed a negligence and wrongful death lawsuit seeking to hold Tesla liable for promoting and exaggerating the capabilities of their self-driving car technology. In March of 2018, Huang activated his Model X autopilot feature for his commute after dropping his son off at preschool. Less than 20 minutes later, the software veered the vehicle out of its lane and accelerated the car to 70 miles per hour before hitting a barrier at an intersection on a highway in Mountain View, California. Tesla said it agreed to settle the case for an undisclosed sum in order to end years of litigation. The settlement comes just a day before a trial was to begin. I'm Jennifer King.
America in the Morning for Wednesday, April 10th, 2024 is produced by Alexander Hinton. Our senior producer is Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. Coming up this half hour:
an abortion ban that dates back to the 1800s to take effect in Arizona. I'm Clayton Neville.
Norfolk Southern agrees to a multi-$1 million settlement, but is it enough? I'm Pamela Furr.
Federal prosecutors have charged an 18-year-old man with attempting to provide material support to the Islamic State group. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
The Environmental Protection Agency has finalized new rules designed to protect communities from toxic airborne industrial pollution. Jennifer King, Washington.
Back after these messages. Back now on America in the Morning. Thanks for listening. A sure cure for cabin fever, upping those daytime temperatures. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist Brian Thompson.
After a warm day yesterday that saw temperatures reach 80 degrees in Central Park in New York City for the first time since October 28th, we are going to see a cooler stretch of weather start today across much of the Northeast, especially across New England, with high temperatures mostly in the 40s and 50s. Even in New York City, it might be a struggle to get much above 60 today. Still relatively warm as you get toward Philadelphia, toward Baltimore and D.C. as well, though it won't be as sunny as it was yesterday, as we will be battling some clouds and even a couple of showers, though by no means will it be an all-day rain and really anywhere across the Northeast or Mid-Atlantic today. The main concern today is for some severe weather along the central Gulf Coast, especially from Louisiana through southern Mississippi into southern portions of Alabama as well. That's where we have the highest risk for severe weather today, with the threat for large hail, damaging winds, even some tornadoes. Now, farther north, we'll have some rain through much of Missouri, especially by later in the day, and that rain will extend eastward across much of the Ohio Valley and toward the Appalachians as we get toward late in the day as well. Dry along the Carolina coast and through much of Florida looks dry today as well, and even looks dry toward much of Michigan, Wisconsin. But as you get out toward the northern plains, some spotty showers or even some thunder showers this afternoon, and there will be a couple of showers back toward the Rockies as well. But toward much of the Four Corners region, it looks dry today. It's going to start to warm up a bit out along the west coast. We are going to see temperatures start to rise. It will be dry today, but highs in the Central Valley of California in the 80s. It's approaching 90 in Phoenix, and we'll see some 90s toward Palm Springs, some of the deserts of Southern California. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Brian Thompson.
Follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. Federal and state leaders are pushing back against an Arizona Supreme Court ruling surrounding abortion, correspondent Clayton Neville reports.
The Arizona Supreme Court decision opens the door to prosecuting doctors who perform abortions. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, decisions on abortion were returned to the states, and the courts have been busy since. Currently, Arizona has a 15-week abortion ban, but with this week's ruling, a near-total ban could take effect in as early as 14 days. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
This Arizona law, which was initially enacted in 1864, more than 150 years ago, fails to protect women even when their health is at risk, or in horrific cases of rape or incest.
Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs said the ruling only serves to create more chaos for women and doctors.
This archaic law, which was written by men 48 years before Arizona even became a state, threatens the lives of countless women and strips us of control over our bodies.
She said she's devastated but is committed to pushing back against the ban.
I joined with legislative champions and abortion rights advocates to call for a repeal of this ban and guarantee access to contraception.
The governor plans to work with lawmakers to pass laws that'll help ensure Arizonans have the reproductive health care they need.
I want to make it clear that my executive order protecting women and doctors from prosecution by extremist county attorneys still stands.
The 1864 law carries a sentence of 2 to 5 years behind bars for doctors or anyone else who assists in an abortion. I'm Clayton Neville.
In an historic first, the parents of a school shooter are facing at least 10 years in prison for their role in their son's massacre. Following that story is our John Stolness.
It is the sentence of this court, Ms. Crumley, that you serve 10 to 15 years with the Michigan Department of Corrections.
Circuit Court Judge Cheryl Matthews reading the verdict as Jennifer and James Crumley sat in orange jumpsuits inside a Pontiac, Michigan courtroom yesterday. Their then 15-year-old son, Ethan, killed four students at Oxford High School back in 2021. They were convicted of involuntary manslaughter. In her impact statement before the sentencing, Nicole Beausoleil, the mother of 17-year-old victim Madison Baldwin, says the Crumbleys deserve a long jail sentence.
While your son was hearing voices and asking for help, I was helping Madison pick out her senior classes. While you were purchasing a gun for your son and leaving it unlocked, I was helping her finish her college essays. Your Honor, I request that the maximum sentence be enforced, as it will never come close to the life sentence I was given.
The jury previously found that while the Crumbleys didn't know their son had a handgun in his backpack when he went to school on the day of the shooting, they agreed they were indifferent to their son's deteriorating mental health and were responsible for not securing the handgun they bought their son for his birthday. Before she was sentenced, Jennifer Crumbley says she thought she knew who her son was.
Ethan, I knew, was a good, quiet kid. He loved his pets, family vacations. My husband and I used to say we had the perfect kid. I truly believed that. And that's who I saw and thought I knew.
James Crumbley claimed remorse for what happened.
Please know that I am truly very sorry. I am sorry for your loss as a result of what my son did.
Ethan is currently serving a life sentence for murder and other crimes. His parents are the first ever to be convicted of a mass shooting committed by their child. The judge will decide later whether James and Jennifer Crumbley will be able to have contact with their son, Ethan. All three will be held in separate state prisons. I'm John Stolness.
Norfolk Southern has agreed to pay $600 million to settle a class action lawsuit for the fiery 2023 train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. Correspondent Pamela Furr reports.
More than three dozen of the freight train's 149 cars derailed on the outskirts of East Palestine near the Pennsylvania state line, and several of those cars spilled a cocktail of hazardous materials that caught on fire. Now, you may recall 3 days later, officials blew open five tanker cars filled with vinyl chloride and burned the toxic chemical. Nearly 2,000 residents in the small town were then evacuated. Now that we're more than a year later, residents still complain complain about respiratory problems and unexplained rashes and nosebleeds. But the fear is people will develop cancer or other serious conditions after being exposed to the toxic chemicals. Eric Koza, who lived just 3 blocks from the derailment and had 47 family members living within a mile, says,
"It's not nowhere near my needs, let alone what the health effects are going to be 5-10 years down the road. I mean, I just went to the doctors and got a CAT scan on my lungs. I have 2 nodules. I have one on my thyroid. I'm having liver problems."
The railroad has promised to create a fund to help pay for the long-term health needs of the community, but that has not been finalized yet. I'm Pamela Furr.
Congress is launching a probe to look into the safety of Boeing airplanes. Correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
A Senate subcommittee has summoned Boeing CEO David Calhoun to testify at a hearing next week as it investigates the safety of Boeing jetliners. The inquiry was prompted by new safety-related charges from a whistleblower. Boeing engineer Sam Salapour is expected to lay out concerns involving the manufacture and assembly of the 787 Dreamliner at that same hearing. Concerns, the subcommittee says, could involve potentially catastrophic safety risks. Salapour is also expected to describe alleged retaliation he faced after bringing his concerns forward. Boeing's safety record has drawn renewed scrutiny after a door panel on a 737 MAX 9 jet blew out over Oregon in early January. Ben Thomas, Washington.
When we return on America in the Morning, Trump trial update, botched ballot for Biden. A couple of the stories you'll hear next after these messages. I'm John Trout. Welcome back. This is America in the Morning. An appeals court has rejected former President Trump's latest attempt to delay his April 15th hush money criminal trial, correspondent Julie Walker reports.
Trump's lawyers wanted the trial postponed indefinitely while he continues to try and fight a gag order in the case. This would be the first of his 4 criminal cases to go to trial. The former president pleaded not guilty to charges of falsifying business records to hide the nature of payments to Michael Cohen in connection with 2 women he's alleged to have cheated on his wife with, one of them Stormy Daniels. Trump also tried to get the trial postponed by moving the venue, but that did not work. Julie Walker, New York.
President Biden could potentially miss the deadline to be on the November ballot in Alabama. Correspondent Lisa Dwyer explains.
Alabama's Secretary of State, Wes Allen, sent a letter to the Alabama Democratic Party chairman saying that the state's August 15th certification deadline is 4 days before the Democratic National Convention is set to even begin. Allen indicated that President Joe Biden's name will not appear on the Alabama ballot unless the deadline is met. Alabama law requires the names of presidential nominees to be submitted 82 days before the election. However, the Republican-controlled Alabama legislature did make a one-time change in the law in 2020 to accommodate the GOP convention. A similar concern has been raised in Ohio that Biden could be left off the ballot in that state as well. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
An 18-year-old in Idaho has been charged for allegedly planning a terrorist attack. Correspondent Haya Panjwani has details.
Alexander Scott Mercurio had planned to attack churches in northern Idaho City using a metal pipe, butane fuel, a machete, and possibly his father's guns. Authorities say Mercurio converted to Islam against his Christian parents' wishes and was in contact with FBI informants posing as Islamic State group supporters. In sworn testimony from one FBI agent, Mercurio said he intended to incapacitate his father with the pipe, handcuff him, and steal his guns and carry out the attack. Law enforcement moved to arrest Mercurio after he sent an audio file to the informant pledging his allegiance to the Islamic State group. If he's convicted, he could face up to 20 years in prison. I'm Haya Panjwani.
The U.S. State Department has signed off on sending some emergency aid to Ukraine to help maintain its missile defense systems. Correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
Air defense is one of Ukraine's top security needs, and the State Department's approved $138 million for critical repairs and spare parts on Hawk missile systems. The move comes as the Biden administration pleads with Congress to approve a $60 billion package for Kyiv.
The price of U.S. leadership is real, but it is far lower than the price of U.S. abdication.
Pentagon Chief Lloyd Austin made the case to a Senate panel.
We look to see that brought before the House and to get a vote as quickly as possible.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken during a meeting with British counterpart David Cameron.
It's profoundly in your interest and your security.
But hardline Republicans are holding up the aid, and the package's future remains in doubt. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The EPA has finalized new regulations targeting toxic cancer-causing chemicals. Correspondent Jennifer King reports.
The agency says the rules advance President Biden's Cancer Moonshot Initiative, implementing fence line monitoring and reducing the emission of chloroprene used to make synthetic rubber. Last month, the agency cracked down on ethylene oxide, a medical sterilizer. More than 200 chemical plants will be impacted. In the EPA release, Administrator Michael Regan made particular mention of Denka Performance Elastomer. The Japanese company took over a DuPont rubber-making plant that's drawn protests as the largest source of chloroprene emissions in the U.S. It's in a majority black neighborhood outside New Orleans, with one of the nation's highest cancer rates. The rule also targets smog-forming compounds and other toxins, including benzene and vinyl chloride. Jennifer King, Washington.
Thanks to a new Google feature, users will be able to find any device that has Bluetooth, even if they're offline. Correspondent Chuck Palm has that in today's tech news.
According to a Google blog post, the long-awaited Find My Device network is finally rolling out, and you'll be able to track your devices even when they're offline. Previously, your device had to be online to use the Find My Device feature to track your phone if it was connected to the internet. But if it was offline, you would be out of luck. The feature will be rolling out soon for most Android devices, but currently works with only certain versions of Bluetooth. If you happen to have a Google Pixel 8 or 8 Pro phone, thanks to specialized Pixel hardware, you'll be able to find your phone even if it's shut down or the battery is dead. And don't worry about your phone being tracked by an unknown source. You'll get notified if you're being followed by a Bluetooth tag that you haven't registered. And just like Apple AirTags, you can now purchase a Bluetooth tag to attach to your keys or your wallet, and you'll never lose them again. Leave a comment at allthetoptech.tech. I'm Chuck Palm.
America in the Morning continues in with Wednesday Sports. Here's our Robert Workman.
3 was a magic number in sports on Tuesday. Shea Langeliers hit 3 home runs, including the go-ahead 2-run shot in the 9th to lead the A's over the Rangers 4-3.
Just one of those nights I was seeing the ball really well, putting good swings on pitches in the zone, and guys grinding out at bats, and luckily I came through for the team tonight.
The Cardinals blanked the Phillies 3-0. Sonny Gray went 5 innings for the win in his Redbird debut, combining on an 8-hitter. Dodgers doubled up the Twins again 6-3. Tyler Glasnow matched his career high with 14 strikeouts in 7 scoreless innings, while James Outman and Will Smith hit 3 run dingers. Braves held off the Mets. Ronald Acuna Jr. stole 3 bases and scored 3 runs. Orioles unraveled the Red Sox. Colton Cowser drove in 4 runs. He didn't get the memo. After the game, Baltimore called up number 1 prospect Jackson Holliday from AAA Norfolk, which scored 102 runs in its first 10 games this season. Tigers scored 4 in the 9th to sink the Pirates. David Bednar blows his 3rd save of the year for Pittsburgh just 12 games into the season. Diamondbacks edged the Rockies for manager Torey Lovullo's 500th win. That's a good number as well. NHL, the Maple Leafs down the Devils. Austin Matthews netted goal number 66 on the season. Back to the threes. Hat tricks for Yaroslav Slavkovsky for the Canadiens over the Flyers. Steven Stamkos leading the Lightning over the Blue Jackets. And Nathan MacKinnon taking the Avalanche past the Wild. NBA, the Bucks beat the league-leading Celtics to snap a 4-game skid, but Giannis Antetokounmpo had to leave the game in the 3rd quarter with a strained left calf. Also notable, Boston became the first team to play an entire NBA game without shooting a free throw. Milwaukee only shot 2, both by Giannis in the 1st quarter, so that's a new record low for 2 teams. Tara Vanderveer, the winningest coach in college basketball history, is retiring after 38 years at Stanford. She took the Cardinal to the Final Four 14 times, winning 3 championships. All told, she won 1,216 games. And the U.S. women defeated Canada on penalties for the She Believes Cup championship. Sophia Smith scored twice in regulation and added a 3rd in the shootout, where Alyssa Nair made 3 saves and scored a penalty herself. That's Wednesday Sports.
That's our show for today. America in the Morning for Wednesday, April 10th, 2024 is produced by Alexander Hinton. Senior producer Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One.